Good morning. We come this week to the fourth Sunday and the last Sunday in Advent. And as it is this last Sunday before the coming of the Christ, our preparations for the season of Christmas shift. They change a bit. We prepare ourselves slightly differently this morning in our gospel story as our gospel lesson points to the Christmas story and prepares us even more expectantly for not only the coming of our Christ, but our role in his coming.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with joy. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed her by the Lord. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
So obviously you got to pay attention because the 8 o'clockers just didn't seem to get it. Or if they did get it, it just is a lousy joke. Or they were too asleep. I don't know which it is. I'm giving you all this fair warning for the punchline. An elderly-looking gentleman in his mid-90s, very well-dressed, hair well-groomed, great-looking suit, flower in his lapel, smelling slightly of a good aftershave, presenting a well-looked-after image, walks into an upscale cocktail lounge. Seated at the bar is an elegantly dressed elderly-looking lady. The gentleman walks over, slides into the chair next to her, orders a drink, takes a sip, turns to her and says, "So tell me, do I come here often?" Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you ever attended one of my Bible study classes, you would recall hearing me say that when we study Scripture, we have to always consider two things: content and context. Now, the content, of course, is what we're reading or what we're considering, or story or teaching. But context that surrounds the story, context opens us to the depth of meaning by considering such things as the intent of the writer, the social context, cultural influences relays meaning. And context together with content helps us to uncover a deeper truth that surpasses time and place. When we consider content in the light of context, we get a better understanding of how God lives as he was present to the realities of the daily lives of our biblical ancestors. Just a moment ago from Luke's gospel. A young woman named Mary was in a big hurry, traveling to the hill country of Judea to visit a pregnant woman by the name of Elizabeth. Elizabeth was overjoyed at seeing Mary. She screamed out, and the Greek word here means that she shouted as if she had a megaphone, okay? So she shouted out in exhilaration a greeting to Mary. She knows somehow deep within her spirit, because the scripture tells us she was filled with the Holy Spirit, that Mary was with child, a special child. Blessed are you among women, she shouts out in her megaphone voice. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. In this story, we encounter wonder and mystery. Why would you, the mother of my Lord, come to me? As soon as I heard your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And then Elizabeth blesses Mary for believing that God will fulfill a plan through her. The words give us a glimpse into the way in which God was working in both women, but especially in the life of this young maiden. It's a joyous story filled with hope and joy. It's a story that warms the heart and excites the soul. But now let's look at it in context, in its place in the larger story of chapter 1 in Luke. In the section that preceded this, we find that Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah are childless. Elizabeth is barren. And at this point, by the way, they are old. Old, very old. An angel named Gabriel says to Zechariah that Elizabeth is going to bear a son. Now, Zechariah, he was a little doubtful. Would you be if the angel came and said that to you? At your age? Wouldn't we all? After all, by the way, some of the sources believe that Elizabeth was probably about 88 years old at this 5-year-old lady I talked about last week. So you can imagine that? But the angel was right. She became pregnant. Elizabeth, the barren 88-year-old woman, became pregnant. And the scripture. Then in her Gabriel comes on the scene again and appears to Mary, a young. The angel says, guess what, Mary? Conceive and bear a child. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking that you might want to be really concerned if the angel Gabriel ever comes to you. It'll be great. The child will be called holy, the Son of God. Mary's response is, what? Wait a minute. How can this be? I've never been with a man. Oh, don't worry, the angel says. Your barren kinswoman, Elizabeth, is with child right now. It's like saying, if we can do that, we can do this. Nothing is impossible with God, the angel says. And so Mary's response is, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done. Now, how many of us would quickly run to that answer? Right? But the story says that's the way it was. And we say, wow, look at the trust that Mary has. Look at the confidence she places in God. It seems just so simple to say yes to God and everything works out. Now let's look a little deeper. Let's look at the social context. Somewhere around the age of 15 is betrothed. According to custom, is now of age, and marriage would be arranged. It would be a choice that would involve the whole family. The marriage contract would have been arranged by the male members of the family, but in practice, a great deal of the power lay with the women of the family. Sound familiar? They just let the men think they were in charge. So an agreement with the two families would have been reached. This then would lead to an engagement, and that would lead to a big party for everybody to enjoy. And the betrothal would have been publicly celebrated and witnessed by the whole community. The marriage itself would have been deferred for probably about a year. You do want the young girl to get a little older. but then it would be time to marry and start a family. And again, another example of a magnificent, heartwarming story. But there's a problem. This 15-year-old young maiden named Mary is found. Sure, try to explain to your family that you don't know how this happened. Right? The angel made me do it. I'm sure no explanation could ever have won over anyone's heart. How do you explain that? All they can think of is how embarrassing, how disgraceful. We are now disgraced as a family. It's shameful. It's shameful for Mary. It's shameful for the family. It's going to be shameful for the child when the child is born. Don't ever think that people are going to let go and forget it. Maybe you can hide the secret for a while, but you can't hide it forever. Just think of the gossip, the whisperings behind your back, the side glances as you walk down the street. This was not only a reflection on Mary, this was a reflection on the whole family. So what do we do? Well, as we ponder a solution, the best thing is probably to send her off. You know, in our own day and age, that was the solution not that long ago. So let's send her off to a relative in the hill country named Elizabeth, her kinswoman. Maybe this was not only to Mary's own safety. Remember, women had no power, no authority, no status. And then maybe after the child's birth, maybe she could return home and maybe with the child and maybe not. Context. This is the hard part of the story that real life context uncovers for us. But don't be afraid of it. Context does not deny our lives, but in any situation, it simply opens us up to circumstances of everyday living. God has revealed to us over and over and over again in our faith history that the real power of his presence is experienced in the powerless. The Bible is filled with stories of God working through not real, not the rich and the powerful. God works in the ups and downs of everyday living. God's outpouring of love and God's presence in our lives, God's call and God's work, God's vision and God's activity are never sidetracked by our weakness or our failings or even our inability to comprehend. Mary rings so true. For with God, nothing is impossible. In fact, it seems to impact through the unexpected. As the Christmas story unfolds before us now in the next couple of days, where animals are kept, that becomes a birthplace. We'll hear about a feeding trough for the animals called a manger, becoming a crib for a child. We'll hear about poor, low-class shepherds as the first recipients of great and fantastic news, tidings of great joy about the birth of a Savior. This is God's pattern, not working through the powerful and the mighty, but through ordinary, everyday, living people. Then just think how God uses us. Revelation of his love for all people. Just think of the important part that we play in the plan of God. The context of the story today opens for us the stark reality that we, like Mary, like Elizabeth, are people through whom God does great and marvelous things. It is a story of trust that encourages us to look differently at how we think God acts in the world. And it's a story of faith that opens our hearts to the reality that God acts through us. Our response, maybe, is a paraphrase of Mary to the angel. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done through me. Amen. Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.